Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live. Looks like we got a ton of feedback. Broadcasting live right now from Spokane Valley, Washington. And as always, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. And I want to really remember here on this Thanksgiving and be thankful for the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, who brought us the story behind the story and the news behind the news, because, you know, this was a man so well read. He had 24,000 volumes in his library that he himself read. Pretty impressive. All right, formally brought to you by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican. And remember, our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. We can't end in prayer. We must move to action, as Luke 17, 20 through 21 says. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst," or in some translations, "inside you." Why is this important? Well, I want to talk today briefly about something that has been, you know, it's been talked about by a lot of folks. It's been talked about by a lot of folks, but not really publicly. And I think it's time to talk a little bit about that publicly and why what we face in the next year fits a pattern. And we briefly talked about this on the show the other day with Alex Newman, but there have been articles coming out recently in The Atlantic specifically. In fact, they dedicated an entire magazine to stopping the next American Civil War. And this was prompted because 30-plus articles came out in Russian media outlets saying that the United States was going to face a civil war in 2020. Now, obviously, the former Soviet Union has reason to put stuff out like that. And, you know, I mean, we can't, you know, just dismiss that. But really, and this is where I want to go with this, I'm not going to pay attention to what the Russians are doing. Let's pay attention to what the Americans are doing, what the American media outlets are doing. So this Atlantic article essentially blamed the current state of affairs in America on the structural failure in our democratic system. Now, I'm going to come back to that here in a second. The tribalization of politics, quote, pathological levels of inequality, the rise of technology / technocracy, demographic and geographic upheaval, the tenacious persistence of racism, and the people no longer seem to know who we are, what our common purpose is. All right, I'm going to focus on the first and the last part of that. Here's why. Because in The Atlantic, there was an article specifically saying that the main and primary driver of our problems in America today is demographic. Essentially, that white Christians are losing to the, quote, browning of America, end quote, and that ethno-nationalism is the problem. Okay, this is what they were arguing in this article. And the name, if you want to look it up, is How to Stop a Civil War. It's in The Atlantic. But they dedicated the entire magazine on it. So first, I want to talk about this last comment that people no longer seem to know who we are, what our common purpose is. Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto, very clearly Karl Marx lays out that he believes in the destruction of national identity and ethnicity. He believed in the destruction of morality and religion and eternal truths. And he believed in this destruction of private property. I want to go through each one of those. Destruction of private property is because if you destroy private property, there's no way for people to fight back against tyranny. If you destroy national identity and ethnicity, people don't have that that memory of freedom and liberty. They can continue on. And by the way, that helps ground people against what, if we look historically, is transient tyranny. In other words, it doesn't last for a long time. But generations of ethnicity do. Nations do. And then also, very interestingly, this talk of the destruction of religion and morality. Why? Because if people don't have a moral foundation, they're easier to control. And so Karl Marx laid this out in the Communist Manifesto, Chapter 2. If you don't read any other part of it, go read that. You can see what I'm saying. It's not a very long read. Chapter 2, Communist Manifesto. And this idea that people no longer seem to know who we are, what our common purpose is, that's because that was the intent of the Marxists, to destroy that. America is a Judeo-Christian nation. It was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. That is historically irrefutable. Anybody that actually tries to say something opposite of that is admitting to you that they are just parroting a falsehood. From the Virginia Charter to the Mayflower Compact to the Articles of Confederation of the United Colonies to the very clear, very, very, very clear.
At Walking Chiropractic.
Wow, what is that here?
Stand out from the rest. As their name implies.
Just a second here.
Walk in, be seen 6 days a week.
The very clear, that was very weird, very clear history of our legal basis. In particular, Sir William Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England, which were the laws of England for 150 years. If we look at that, we know, very clearly know, that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, because Blackstone wrote in his Commentaries on the Laws of England, the law of nature and the law of nature's God. He defined those two legal terms of art, and then Thomas Jefferson used them later, 7 years later, actually, in the Declaration of Independence. And so this attempt to erase who we are, and then they identify that as a problem, well, that's because it was intentional. And the Atlantic doesn't even understand that. And then, going back to the first part of this, they say that there's a structural failure in our democratic system. That's because we don't have a democratic system. We have a republic, a rule of law. And because the Marxists have tried to turn it into a democratic system where the majority can vote away the rights of the minority, they see it as a structural failure. That's because democracy is a failed system the founding fathers intentionally rejected. For rule of law. In other words, no matter what happens, the minority always has the same God-given unalienable rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same, among many others. That's what's so important. These articles are based on a fallacy that we live in a democracy. And this is the intent, because if you live in a democracy, it will create this type of chaos where you have a minority that feels that their rights are going to be taken away, or believes that their rights are going to be taken away by the majority, by the tyranny of the majority. In fact, in these articles, they talk about counter-majoritarian politics and these kind of things. This is the whole reason the founding fathers rejected democracy. And as Christians, if we don't understand that, and we don't understand we have Judeo-Christian foundations, then I believe we are actually setting ourselves up for these Marxists to create flashpoints in the future. Now, let me give you what that might look like. Oh, let's say a veteran has somebody that doesn't like them and is coming after them and turns them in under the red flag laws. These red flag laws, then you don't have to have a lot of evidence. You don't have truly due process at all. And they come and try and take that veteran's gun. And that veteran says, you know what? That's not going to happen. And a bunch of his friends come to his house to defend him. Let's say 1,000 people show up at his house to defend him. And the Marxists try to create a flashpoint out of that. Or like they did in Chile, they try to create a flashpoint out of the transportation inequality or transit inequality, because they had to raise price on it because transit systems inherently, and anybody that, by the way, anybody that promotes light rail, especially in Eastern Washington or Washington as a whole, doesn't understand that you need a specific density for that to even have a remote chance of penciling out. So you have to ask yourself a question, why would they promote it if they know that it's not going to pencil out? We're hearing this over in Seattle after Tim Iman's initiative, I-976, passed, returning us to $30 car tabs. It effectively eviscerated Sound Transit, which needed to happen. And so the question then becomes, because Sound Transit has been eviscerated, you know, is this transit inequality? Well, people are funding this boondoggle of billions of dollars. They don't want to fund it anymore. They don't want to have car tabs that are $1,000 or $1,500 like some people were running into. This is the way that the Marxists operate. This is intentional. This is intentional to create these flashpoints, create chaos, to create chaos so that they can then write in and say, oh, we need more government because of the chaos. Don't fall for this trick. And by the way, get out and vote. You now have what effectively is a Democrat city council in Spokane Valley. Oh, it's a nonpartisan race. Really? Well, Tim Hattenberg was my Democrat opponent back when I first ran. Linda Thompson was my seatmate's Democrat opponent. Several others, very directly tied to Indivisible, which is a Marxist organization. So we need to pay attention. These folks are quite literally putting us in a position where they want to destroy our country, destroy our identity as Americans. And it's our chance in this generation to say, no, that's not going to happen in America. That we will continue to be that beacon on a hill. We will continue to send the most missionaries around the world. We will continue to have the most robust spreading of the gospel and making of disciples of any other country on earth. We need to understand what's happening here. So take a look at some of these articles in The Atlantic. And if you understand history, you're going to understand not only how these guys are missing the boat, but how this is an intentional plan. That brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, China and India, once again, the Kashmir history there. India has effectively claimed Kashmir, which is blocking the Chinese road rail network. They may work out a deal, I don't know. And in addition to that, Hong Kong votes for freedom. A massive, and there was huge voter turnout and a massive rejection of the Marxist policies coming out of Beijing. Now, let's see what the Chinese are going to do about that, because communism ultimately always has to try to eliminate human beings, because human beings are the repository of those things I was talking about. Morality, ethnicity, national identity. They're the repository, so they have to try to wipe that out by wiping out human beings. The owners of property, you have to wipe them out so they can't own property. That's why communism always ends up this way. And Lenin actually said as much. He said as much that it wasn't enough to be in theory, but the practical aspect of communism, socialism, is to remove these repositories of institutional memory. All right, also on the international front, South America, Marxism on the move, now spreading to Colombia. They're trying to take care of that right now in Colombia, but it's now spreading there. And just watch the tactics and techniques that are happening in South America. The burning and looting and these so what they have is a roving band. Like in Chile, they have a roving band that goes around the city. It's not like grassroots from one area of the city and then another. These guys rove around because they are coordinated Marxists. Now watch this, because this tactic, this technique in Chile, and then you look at what's happening in Bolivia. These tactics and techniques are going to be tried down there, and then they will be used here in America this next year. This is the way that Marxists operate. They'll try to test it somewhere, and then they'll try to implement it in another country. Also on the international front, Putin admits that five men that died during an explosion in eastern Russia were making a, quote, super weapon, end quote, whatever that means. Obviously trying to play it up a little bit, but it now is admitted that they were working on a weapon. All right, also on the international front, out of Israel, in the Middle East, Benjamin Netanyahu accuses the attorney general there of a coup. Does that sound familiar? They tried to indict him, but they can't remove him from office, so they're going to let him stay in as the interim prime minister. Right now, the United States has reversed its position on West Bank settlements, over 30-year position on it, and Netanyahu is looking at annexing the Jordan Valley, which includes the Valley of Achor, or the Valley of Trouble, or Qumran. Watch what is happening in that area of the world. In addition to that, this coming to us from Deb Kefile. Deb Kefile is reporting that Iran, quote, is poised to strike U.S. and Israeli targets in the Middle East. USS aircraft carrier Lincoln has moved into the Gulf near Iran. And particularly, the statement from the Revolutionary Guard chief, General Hossein Salami: if you cross our red lines, we will destroy you. If Iran decides to respond, the enemy will not have security anywhere. Our patience has a limit, end quote. That's interesting. It's as if he is telegraphing that they might activate terror cells in the United States of America, which we've talked about on this show before. Also on the international front, the Financial Times, and this goes into what I was talking about earlier about this promotion by the left of civil war. By the way, the Democrats promoting civil war again in our history is very interesting. But the Financial Times actually advocates for foreign intervention, international intervention by the United Nations in America. I mean, I don't even know where to start with that, other than it gets even worse in the article. They actually say blood and treasure. Will the United Nations expend blood and treasure to intervene in America? So that means troops in America. They're actually admitting this. Now, I remember 10 years ago, anybody had a discussion about this, was poo-pooed as a conspiracy theorist. Now the Financial Times, a major periodical, is actually advocating this, of UN intervention in the United States of America. And then it gets even more interesting. They also advocate, as part of that intervention, a rewriting of the, quote, antiquated document of 1787, end quote. In other words, our U.S. Constitution. They are advocating for a rewrite of the U.S. Constitution. This is what these Marxists actually want. This is what they believe. They want foreign intervention in our country. Ilhan Omar actually advocated for it as well, which I believe is a violation of her oath of office. And then on top of that, They want to see our Constitution rewritten. This is why we have a republic. This is why we need to get involved. You need to have these hard conversations over Thanksgiving dinner. Go check out this Financial Times article, which just, I've seen a lot of bad articles in my life, but quote, how foreign intervention can save U.S. democracy. Again, a fallacy. We live in a democracy, but that's what the title of the article is. How U.N. intervention can save U.S. democracy. How foreign troops on U.S. soil could save U.S. democracy. Actually, that would provoke something very horrible, I think. I can't even believe these guys are advocating this stuff. Unbelievable. Advocating violence against a sovereign nation. And there are people in the U.S. Congress that are asking for foreign intervention, too. Unbelievable. All right. Also, on the national front, Antifa ramping up recruitment in anticipation of 2020. Also, article from the New American, Chinese Communist Front flips Virginia blue. This coming at least through the New American, but also from the Epoch Times. Pro-communist, okay, these are pro-Chinese communists claim credit. Trevor Loudon discusses it. You can see that online at the New American. So what happened to that foreign intervention in our election that's being admitted to? Is that going to be investigated by some sort of a special prosecutor and counsel? You see where this is heading. All right, also on the national front, I want to talk about Big Brother today. There's a whole bunch of different articles on Big Brother. First, finally admitted, 10.medium.com, talking about this massive military facial recognition system and biometric database. Several million people already in it. It's basically a dragnet. With the expressed goal of, quote, denying our adversaries anonymity, allowing us to focus on our lethality, end quote. Yikes. All right. Also on the national front, the Patriot Act was put through the House of Representatives, Democrat-controlled House of Representatives, in a continuing resolution, the reauthorization of the Patriot Act. So you have, once again, an act that is clearly containing unconstitutional provisions being put through a Democrat-controlled Congress. Now, that doesn't excuse Republican Congresses that did the same thing. All right, also on the national front, Department of Homeland Security attempting to outdo the U.S. military, admitting that they have and want to create a database to hold biometric data on 229 million people by 2022. So just in, what, 3 years? This is coming to us from Technocracy News. It's effectively total surveillance, that you wouldn't be able to do anything without being tracked. And of course, it's for your safety. So you're trading safety and security for liberty. Also on the national front, this project to erase memories, this stuff is just creepy. And start altering memories of people. For really, I would consider light and transient reasons. Also on the national front, Save the Persecuted Christians. It's an organization similar to Voice of the Martyrs, but really active, especially in the political front. We're going to be hosting Tortured for Christ as part of Save the Persecuted Christians. And if you're interested in that, just message me privately. So Save the Persecuted Christians. is an organization, again, that has called attention to what's happening around the world, but also the persecution that's beginning to happen here in America, but particularly calling attention to Nigeria possibly becoming some sort of a new ISIS caliphate in Africa, and the huge increase of persecution of Christians in Nigeria that's been happening. On the regional front, Tim Iman, after they spent $5 million against him in I-976 and losing, they are now shocked and dismayed that Tim Iman has announced he is running for governor of the state of Washington. And it's actually quite hilarious watching the media reaction, but even more hilarious listening to the Democrat reaction privately. They're actually very concerned about this because Tim has so much name recognition because they spent $5 million against him. Also interesting that Seattle now is trying to throw out this I-976 vote to uphold the will of the Seattle voters. Well, wait a minute. You got outvoted. And we've had to deal with this for years where Seattle has voted on all the stuff we don't believe in Eastern Washington. Well, now you're outvoted, and now you're going to try to throw it out in court. Also, the Seattle Times comes out advocating the state of King. In other words, King County would be its own state. Great! Liberty State just got a little bit bigger, and we're going to move forward then with a vote, right? Because you're advocating that now for downtown Seattle, because the rest of the state doesn't hold your values, traditions, heritage, and culture. You're just really upset about the fact your mass transit boondoggle is not going to be funded, right? Well, great. Let's amicably go our separate ways, become two separate states in the union, and experiment and see if the free market is a better way to go than massive socialism. Let's do it. I love it. Lastly, on the regional front, The Guardian. This is hilarious. So we've detailed on this show that The Guardian's Jason Wilson was directly linked to Antifa via PJ Media in an article that they put out. Well, now Breitbart has been attacked by the far-left Guardian, in this case, Julia Wong, who deliberately omits key facts in a piece smearing Breitbart. And you can go take a look at that. So The Guardian is smearing now Breitbart. They're going for even larger smear pieces, apparently. So check that out. The Guardian completely now a untrustworthy publication. Check it out. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you for everybody that's been praying for us and everything you're doing for our family, you know, behind the scenes, just all the prayers and thoughts and things. It's been great. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And remember, this is a listener-supported show, and you can help keep us on the air at VoteShay.com. Remember, Patriot Radio is also on iTunes and Podbean. Well, my guest today is Chris Ann Hall, my very favorite constitutional attorney, former prosecutor, and an admitted constitutionalist. Oh, my. Chris Ann Hall, it's great to have you on again.
Oh, you know, Matt, it is so glad. I'm so good to hear your voice. It's just awesome. And I wanted to say happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And Thanksgiving is rooted in Judeo-Christian principles. We're going to go ahead and say that on the air in case somebody didn't know that. So I love it. So yeah. Tell us what you've been up to, and you're coming to Washington State as well, right?
Actually, I just left Washington State.
Well, how was it? How did the people take your presentation?
It was fantastic. I got to speak to the Washington Farm Bureau. We had about 250, 300 farmers and ranchers, members of the Farm Bureau, in a big luncheon, and I spoke about property rights, specifically the limited nature of the federal government's ability to own and manage property, and that the state's authority to kick the federal government off their land. And it was really, really well received, except for the protesters outside who were protesting me being there, because now, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center and a couple of other groups have determined that I'm a white supremacist. I'm a white nationalist, and I'm an anti-government extremist hate group. So whenever we go to the Western states, well, I don't know, they've sort of become a little bit more prevalent. Whenever I go to the Western states, though, we always end up picking some protester up or two who simply, you know, they eat up the leftist hate line, and they absolutely have no idea about me. You know, my husband is biracial. My son is biracial. And, you know, we go to a church that's multinational. So I'm not quite sure how I can be a white supremacist, but that's my reputation in the left circles these days.
You know, I really, you know, every time I hear that now, it just means you won the argument. Whatever the argument ended up being, right. You just won. You won.
They don't even have a seat up, but they don't even approach me with an argument anymore, Matt. It's just, you know, in my face, shut up, you're a white supremacist. But it's because they can't approach me with an argument, and you know that. And so I presented just simply the Constitution, the facts that our framers set out in its intent, and really, really armed these people with the ammunition necessary to free themselves from a federal dependency. And I've had a lot of follow-up afterwards from leadership in the group and members of that group, that the people were just blown away, and they've never heard these things before, and that they've given them not only a lot to think about, but a lot to work with. And really, Matt, that's my vision. That's the only reason that I do what I do, is to just simply help peel the scales from people's eyes and let them see the liberty that is available here in America, that America was established on, God's gift of liberty to us, and the essential nature of life, liberty, property, and the defense of those things that makes us truly free.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about this. It's very interesting that, you know, these Marxist protesters, they're the ones that are always mentioning race. And for those of us that have friends and family members who are of different races, different ethnicities, we don't ever talk about it because we're not seeing people that way. We're seeing them for the content of their character, you know? They're always bringing it up. And I think this goes back to what Karl Marx was trying to do, and that was eviscerate this idea of a national identity, of what it means to be an American. And what are you seeing as you're traveling around the country in the different communities that maybe aren't so, you know, it's not such a stark battle as it is in Washington? What are you seeing?
Well, you know, Matt, what I recognize, because we're moving into our 11th year now of traveling and teaching all over the country, what I recognize is that these people are true the epitome, the definition of fringe. Americans as a whole don't look at each other with color and division in their eyes. And I believe that is why the media and the politicians and these really fringe groups have to work so hard. It's why they're in our face every day in the news. It's why the politicians have to harp on it over and over and over again, because it's hard work training the American to be something that they're not. You know, we go all over the country, and I can tell you that we've in our travels found ourselves in times of need, flat tire, out of gas, you know, need a place to stay, those kind of things. And never once, ever, anywhere in this country, no matter where I've been, has somebody looked at me and asked me what my race was, whether they were going to help me or not. And I would say the same for us as well, you know. And when I'm with my husband's family, you know, we look at each other. We don't look at each other in color. We look at each other in love, because we are family. And that's, I believe, how we describe the true nature of Americans. Just being American makes us family.
I love that, and it's exactly right. But we have to have a common thing that, that brings us together that we all agree on, and that thing is the Constitution. And
yes.
In the last, you know, several decades, you've seen this erosion. You teach on it. I want to get your take on impeachment. Is the Democrat mm-hmm. process right now on impeachment constitutional? And what should people know about what's happening at the national level?
Well, what is happening in the House of Representatives, that has happened in the House of Representatives, doesn't even remotely resemble the institution, the process of impeachment that the creators, the drafters of our Constitution, intended when they created that institution, that check and balance. And the interesting thing is, you can, when you know how it's supposed to work, you know, like we do, and you see the acrobatics that they have to do to maintain their course in this action, even people who don't know the facts about impeachment, that ought to bring to question in the people's minds what exactly is going on here. If they have to keep changing the standard and moving the bar and inventing things, how can what they're doing be actually a standard? Because remember, the Constitution is a standard, and there is a standard for impeachment. Impeachment is found in Article 2, Section 4, and that the president, the vice president, and all civil officers, which includes everybody in Washington, D.C., are to be impeached for treason, bribery, high crimes, and misdemeanors. That's it. And because they like to play with words and they like to play with definitions, because if they can control the definitions, then there really is nothing that they can't do. There's no standard at all. And so what we have to understand is these four things were very definite to the people who actually wrote them. And the idea, first, you always hear from these people, well, we can't possibly know what the founders meant. That's ridiculous. And I think in this point, the I call them the wonking heads. The wonking heads realize that. I don't know, have you heard the talking heads talking about Federalist 65 and Alexander Hamilton?
I haven't, other than Mark Levin.
Okay, so I don't know what Mark Levin is saying, but this is the new talking point, and it's bipartisan, okay? So what we, JC and I are doing a whole radio show this week. Actually, we're broadcasting it tomorrow on Federalist 65. Now, the talking point is that in Federalist 65, Hamilton says that Congress can impeach the president for anything they want, because Hamilton and the founders intended for impeachment to happen for political things. Now, that's a flat-out lie, and it's just the epitome of cherry-picking. So on the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal tomorrow, we're walking through this, because let me give you a couple interesting points. Federal 65, because Matt, you're going to hear this now. This is what the Democrats are going to hang their hat on. Oh, well, they don't ever want to quote the founders of the Constitution, but when they cherry pick and it fits, then they're going to die on that hill. And so you're going to hear over and over and over again, well, impeachment is not limited to criminal actions; they can be political. And Federalist 65 says this. Now, I challenge anyone who is listening right now, pick up Federalist 65 and read it. Because number one, you're going to find out, first and foremost, Hamilton is not talking about the definition of crimes of impeachment. He is talking about the judicial nature of the Senate in the institution of impeachment. He talks about why the Senate is the appropriate body, why the Supreme Court is not the appropriate body. He even entertains the idea, there are some that say we should have a separate body that's created just for impeachments outside of the federal government, and he explains why that won't work either. And he tells you in the second and the eighth paragraph, it's really interesting, that impeachment is a very serious process, because you're trying to remove someone from office who's placed there by the body of the people through election. And he says the danger, this is just stunning, he says the danger of impeachment is that it will turn into a partisan process where people are more focused on political divisions than establishing guilt or innocence. And that's what we have to understand. Hamilton is actually saying the exact opposite. I even heard Chris Wallace on Fox give this Federalist 65 ridiculous lies and cherry-picking, because Hamilton is not defining impeachment, the crimes of impeachment. He's telling us, look, it's political, and the danger is we won't be concerned with establishing guilt and innocence. We won't be concerned with due process. We will be more concerned with political factions and divisions. And isn't that exactly what's happening?
It is exactly what's happening. And quite literally, I think it's tearing at the fabric of our country, because it's this idea that the results of an election don't need to be respected, A, and B, that we live in a democracy where the majority can vote away the minority's rights. Financial Times, I was just talking about that earlier in the show, and The Atlantic put out articles this last week and this last month where they specifically said that there's a fundamental problem in America with our democratic system. And I'm like, that's because you don't know the system.
Right, right. Well, it's even worse when you think about it, because, Matt, what we have is not a democracy. We have a democracy of 435. So whatever 435 can come up with as a majority becomes what people accept to be law. For example, you have the signing of this new federal law against animal cruelty, right? Well, there's absolutely no authority in the Constitution for the federal government to have any criminal control over animal cruelty of any sort. But as I talk about this on social media, the pushback that I get is, well, the majority in the House and the Senate, the overwhelming majority in the House and the Senate were in favor of this, and the president signed it into law, therefore it must be constitutional. So the definition of constitutional has now devolved into whatever Congress says is constitutional. I mean, it was bad enough, Matt, when we hinged what is constitutional on what nine oligarchs in black robes said. And now we actually have the very parliament that our founders tried to, that actually separated themselves from.
I want to get your reaction to this. There's an article, again, in the Financial Times. It's called How Foreign Intervention Can Save U.S. Democracy. And in there, they actually advocate the United Nations intervening in this next election in 2020. They advocate, and this is a quote, rewriting the antiquated 1787 document called the Constitution and making it so that judges no longer are accountable or elected or have any sort of a political process involved. In other words, creating this this idea from Plato of these black robe philosopher kings. I want to get your reaction to that. And where do you think the country's headed this next year?
You know, these kind of things they hurt me in my heart, because those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. There is a reason why our federal government, our constitutional republic, was established what it was. And the problem is for 176 years now, we have been teaching that the Constitution was an experiment, in the sense that the people who wrote it had no idea what they were doing. That in experiment, in this new postmodern definition of the word experiment, means, you know, we're going to do whatever we think might work, and if it doesn't work, oh well, we'll pick up the pieces and start over again. But when our founders spoke of the great American experiment, they were using that word experiment in the true scientific method sense, meaning I'm going to take everything that I know about this one thing, and I'm going to study this one thing out in its entirety. And then I'm going to take this other thing that I've studied and I know as completely as I can possibly know. And then before I combine them together, I'm going to do all the necessary preparatory work and on the paper and in the computer to determine what happens when I put them together. Only when I know and I'm very sure of what will happen as the product will I finally physically do that and see if I'm right. You see, the way we define experiment today, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, throw it together, see what happens, that's not an experiment in a laboratory, that's an explosion. And that's not what we have. We did not get a constitutional explosion. What we got were people who knew so much about history and human nature, so much about government and how they interact with people over centuries. They said, look, we know everything that we could possibly know in this day and age about people, government, and laws. Let's do the best we can to ensure that the laws of the people always comply with the laws of nature and that people's rights are inalienable and we no longer have kings. Where are we headed? We're already there. I mean, we have a president. And so here's the crazy thing. Any given day, I'm either a Trump sycophant or a never Trumper because I'm not on anybody's train, right? I'm a constitutionalist. Right. So if Trump does something good, I'm going to talk about that. If he does something bad, I'm going to talk about that too. But we're in a situation, Matt, where any given day, regardless of who's in power, some large group of people in America are advocating against the Constitution. You don't know how many people are, like, cheering the fact the federal government has created a law that actually makes a federal crime to engage in animal cruelty. And because I say that's not a federal authority, I am now not only a white nationalist supremacist, I am also an animal abuser that needs to be in prison, right? Just simply because I want a limited government. But you see, I think that if Barack Obama had done this and not Donald Trump signed this, there would have been a completely different tone in the conservative realm. And we're being ruled by cult of personality politics. And that's why we're being tossed and fro. The Bible says a double-minded man is tossed to and fro, and that's what we are. We're not linked to a standard anymore. We are in love with politics, the drama of politics, and the personality of politics. And for 170 years, we've been taught into ignorance about the Constitution. But you know, we're not only taught into ignorance. We have been discouraged from finding out on our own. For decades, we've been told it's impossible to know what the Constitution means. You have to be a scholar. You have to be a lawyer. You have to be a judge. You have to study for decades to know what it means. And all of that is just like the return to the Spanish Inquisition, where the Bible was not printed in English, and you only had the opportunity to hear it from the clergy, because if you keep the people ignorant, you can keep them under control.
That's exactly right. And if we don't understand that, we don't know where we came from, we don't know our history, uh-huh. We don't know even what the document is that we're supposed to be holding the people we vote for accountable to, then we just have a train wreck in the offing. What do you think the solution is? What can people do right now? What are the conversations that people can have at the Thanksgiving dinner table with their friends and relatives about these issues? How do you think this can be solved?
I think, Matt, the worst thing that can happen is the thinking that we are going to change this overnight, that some magic pill, some incantation, one thing is going to change this. Somebody tells you one thing is going to change this. They're either deceived themselves or they're deceivers. That's like selling snake oil. Not one thing is going to make this better. And like I said, it's been 176 years. 1833 is when we stopped teaching the Constitution properly. And so 176 years have headed in the wrong direction. And deep-seated teachings and indoctrinations are not going to change overnight. What we need to do is start learning on our own, setting aside what we've believed, get rid of confirmation bias, get rid of the cult of personality, step away from tribalism long enough to see that not everything is blue and red, that there are real truths out there that are independent of political parties. And I'll just tell you what Samuel Adams told us. He said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved." He said, "But on the contrary, when the people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders." This is why when you asked me about the article, you know, about foreign influence and all this other stuff, it just makes me pause, because you see, every single problem that we have in America today is not because of a border problem. It's not because of an invasion problem. It's because the people of America have been trained into universal ignorance as to the meaning and understanding of personal liberty. And it's going to take education. It's going to take restorations. It's going to take a great awakening. We have to awake to the knowledge that liberty is not a gift government. Number one, there's no such thing as a First Amendment right. There's no such thing as a Second Amendment right. These are natural rights. The Constitution is written because we have these rights, not the other way around. And so we have got to get back to fundamentals. And that means everybody's going to have to pick one aspect and then start talking about it. You know, maybe it's First Amendment. Maybe it's free speech for you. Maybe it's freedom of press for you. Maybe it's due process. Maybe it's the right to keep and bear arms. Maybe it's about the Electoral College. Maybe it is about impeachment. Maybe it's about a limited and defined federal government. Maybe it's about restoring the power of the people through the states. Maybe it's about direct taxation. Maybe it's about civil asset forfeiture and the violation of our property rights. Maybe it's about how the EPA, the USDA, the DO, the Department of Interior, and all these agencies actually steal our property. They don't manage it. But I can't tell anybody what it is that is their passion. But we've got to get connected with that passion, and we've got to become students and teachers at the same time.
Amen. And the last minute that we have left, Chrisanne, if you could, people want to get more information, where can they go? And then also, how can we pray for you and JC?
Oh, man. Okay, so chrisannehall.com, chrisannehall.com. I am on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. You can catch me on all of those places. JC and I do the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. We have lots and lots of YouTube videos out there. We are a teach show, not a talk show. So we talk about these issues to help restore truth and change lives. Please pray for us. My prayer that I would ask you to pray for is just simply the wisdom of God in the direction of God to walk in His way and in His will.
Amen. Chrisanne Hall, thank you so much for being on Patriot Radio again. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and blessings to you and your family.
Blessings to you guys too. Thank you so much for having me on. We should do this more often.
We will make sure we do it more often. All right.
God bless you.
All right. God bless. So again, Chrisanne Hall, and you can check her out online. She's got in a huge bank of radio shows and podcasts and articles and resources on what the Constitution actually means. And she's absolutely right. This idea that the founders, you know, just were vague about it. No, they had detailed, very well documented discussions and debate about each clause of the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights. So we know exactly what they meant. We know what they didn't mean. We know what they intentionally left out and why they left it out. So this idea that the Constitution cannot be understood is just absolute bunk. And Chrisanne Hall, premier expert on the Constitution of the United States of America. And I would add this too, this idea that, whatever the Congress says is constitutional or whatever judge says is constitutional, that's not what the Constitution itself says. Constitution itself requires that every elected official at all these different levels needs to take an oath to the Constitution of the United States and also to their state constitution if they're at the state level. And the reason for that is every single elected official is supposed to be a check in the system. It was supposed to be a vertical check and balance as well as a horizontal check and balance between the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches. There's supposed to be a vertical check and balance with the people involved in that check and balance as well, but also local elected officials. And this isn't just me saying this. Justice Scalia actually penned a decision, Prince v. U.S., and in that decision recognized this vertical check and balance, the spheres of authority. So we need to understand that we need to be consistent in our worldview and our belief system, and not just because it tackles an issue, that we really are passionate about, like animal cruelty, when really that's a matter left to the states and was intentionally left to the states. In fact, in the Federalist Papers, it is actually very clearly mentioned that the federal government was supposed to deal with problems outside the United States predominantly, and the states were supposed to deal with problems internally. This Thanksgiving coming up, I hope you all take an opportunity, despite all the things that are happening in our country, just to thank God for the blessing of this great nation. Thank God for all the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines serving this country. Thank God that we can still talk about religion openly. And thank God that we still have the ability in this generation to preserve liberty for another generation. May God bless all of you. Happy Thanksgiving, and may He make this generation the greatest one.